Welcome back to another episode of the Unified Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. No matter where you are in the world, I appreciate you, appreciate your support of the show. Hopefully you enjoyed last week's show with Matt, 686. We've had some great shows recently, and I really do appreciate all of the feedback that various listeners are taking time to give us. So thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for your feedback. This is episode number 687, where I talk to Mutani Goswami about breaking down culture and tradition. This show was, for me, one of the most enjoyable shows on this topic, or talks on this topic, I have ever had and done. Culture, traditions around sport have almost plagued sport for a number of years. People's performances at some times, been suppressed. People have gone against what their tradition and what their culture has taught them to do in order to pursue their dreams. So to be able to sit down with Mutani and talk to her about her firsthand experience was for me something absolutely incredible. I really think there's so much we can learn in this show about ourselves as humans, about other cultures, and about things that we perhaps formulate in our minds that maybe are true, but also maybe are not true. I'm massively appreciative that Mutani opened up so much in this show. She really didn't leave anything untouched. She spoke about things that I believe traditionally would just never have been spoken about. So I'm massively appreciative to her. I'm also appreciative to you guys. And no matter where you are in the world, thanks for tuning in. Let's jump into today's show. Welcome back to another episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen. And this one could go in a number of different directions, but it's something that I'm super excited about. And to welcome to the show, Mutani, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much. This is really a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm excited to talk to you for a number of reasons, but I want you to tell us a little bit about what we were talking about before we started recording there, because I think it's such a great place to kick it off. Where did your journey in running begin and why?
I was extremely unfit. I was never into sports. This started in 2015. My mom, she got diagnosed with kidney carcinoma. And my dad also passed away from kidney cancer. So I was in the hospital and the doctor was telling me, "Why are you crying?" I said, "Because my dad passed away and my mom has already got this." He said, "Well, you should take care of yourself because you are overweight and you are very young and you're not doing anything about yourself."
Wow.
And that time I was almost about 86, 87 kilos. And I realized, wow, this is the beginning. So I went back and my husband has been into the sports. He's been into cricket, tennis, lawn tennis. And he said, "Okay, start walking at least. Start with walk." And I realized I have some knee issue. I can't even walk straight.
Oh.
And then somebody told me that I should start with yoga because that's like a basic fitness. And
yeah,
you get some, your muscles get right. So I started with yoga and it was awesome. So I respect yoga till date. Till date, none of the week passes without two sessions of yoga.
Really?
I respect.
Self-practice or you go to a class?
I go to a class.
Wow.
But if I'm not able to go, I'm definitely doing at home. But
yeah,
two sessions of yoga, 1 hour for sure. That's mandatory.
And this was back in 2014, 2015?
Correct, yeah.
I mean, you covered a lot really fast there. I have to break this down because this is wild. Mother's sick. Father's just passed away, you're overweight, 86 kilos in hospital, and instead of the doctor consoling you, he's like, "You're next," basically.
Yes.
How does that make you feel?
And I was like, "Really? This can happen to me?" And then I started studying about cancer and a lot of things, and then I realized, yes, and I have been into all sorts of bad habits. Alcohol, cigarettes, I was in sales, I used to party a lot, eat all crap. You won't believe.
Really?
Like, I can drink a full bottle of vodka in one go. Horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was, how did you get into that lifestyle though? Let's talk a little bit about that as well.
So I was in real estate sales, and I was in Delhi and earning quite a lot.
Mm.
So, and you know what happens in sales especially, you get kick whenever the sales happen.
Yeah.
You get extra commission, extra money. Okay, there's money, let's go to party.
Yeah.
So, and that's how you start sitting with people and start, okay, one peg, two pegs, three, and then it's
on. Really?
Yeah. So it used to be, I used to be a very, very hard worker. I used to work a lot, but then I used to party harder.
Did you know at the time it was the wrong thing to do?
Of course, because culturally, being an Indian,
yeah,
this was not very acceptable. So I used to actually, tell my husband to open the door when I used to come late, because if my mom opens the door, she'll be very annoyed.
Really?
It's not acceptable in our community that I'm drunk and coming home late. And so
why did you continue to do it?
So when I realized that this is bad, when the doctor said that you have got overweight and you've got issues, you should sort out this first.
Yeah.
And don't cry for your mama. There's no point.
Mm.
Then I realized, and it started very slowly, it started coming, but within a year I picked up, I think I quit all the bad habits and I picked up lot of good things. I have quit smoking because I was not able to run. I've quit alcohol. Today, I don't do any of these very rare. Some.
Did you stop everything, as we'd say, cold turkey, like just one shot? You just woke up one morning and said, this has to stop?
Almost.
Really?
Almost.
I want to start, and it's the title of this show, so people kind of are expecting it. But you said something there about it's not culturally acceptable to behave in that way. You're from India. Talk us through a little bit of cultural expectations, let's call it.
India, I mean, so I was always, I would say, rebel kind of a person.
No.
Yeah, so I think because, you know, in school days also, you know, when I have been asked to not to do something, I would rather go and do that. And I used to like seeing that if this is not done, then what happens?
Right.
So, you know, in school days, I used to try all sorts of bad habits. And, you know, I still remember I got punished by the principal because I ran away out of the school, leaving the school bag in the school, and I just ran away from the school just because I want to see what is the reaction of the teachers, or whether my parents are able to, you know, what do they handle about it. So I wanted to see their reaction. So I used to do things which is not acceptable.
Yeah.
So I used to try that. So culturally, there are a lot of, Indian and, they don't accept women to have alcohol, they don't accept women to have cigarettes. And I used to say, okay, you say no to it, then I'm going to try.
What do you feel about that now and also back then, that something like cigarettes, alcohol, whether they're good, whether they're bad, is to me is indifferent, but
yeah.
Why should one be for a woman and or one for a man and one not be?
Yes, this is what I used to hate about it. I used to see that if anything, first thing, because, you know, okay, let me just tell you, first of all, I'm the second daughter of my family.
You're right.
So when I was born, my mom, she cried that I have another daughter, which is so unlikely in any part of the world.
Wow.
Okay. And my dad said, well, she's going to be my son and don't worry about it. So this is what, so I think this is the beginning.
This is the beginning.
Yeah.
It is.
This is the beginning when I had to prove that I'm better than a son.
Wow.
And it all started there. So I always used to say, if you say no to this, I'm going to do this.
When were you told that? How old were you when you were told that you were supposed to be a son?
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But it came into the conversation, a lot of family discussion, like, oh, she was another daughter born in the family. So that is where I picked up that, why do you have to regret if I'm a daughter?
Yeah.
So I think this was there in back of my mind. And in fact, you know, I'm realizing it now when I'm talking to you. Yes, this is the reason. I never realized that this was the reason that I have been, yes. So this all started, and then my schooling, I used to always see that, you know, oh, you are a daughter, you are a girl, you are not supposed to do this. You cannot do this because this is only for boys. Why? Why do you have to say this? You just tell me, then I'm going to do it. So I remember a small thing, you know, I was cleaning my dad's scooter, and what, you are a girl, you're cleaning your dad's scooter? What's wrong in it? Then I realized that this is like a social stigma, that just because you are a daughter, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So there it got...
How old were you when you were cleaning your dad's scooter?
Must be around 8 or 9 year old.
And you still remember it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I still remember that.
So you're used to what we'd call these strange cultural norms and stigmas from a very young age.
Correct. Yeah.
How have they grown with you or developed on you? Have you rebelled more? I mean, it's quite funny to hear stories about, you know, leaving my school bag to see what would happen. And this is almost, but has there come a point where you've sort of felt hatred towards the system?
Yes.
When was that?
I started realizing from school days itself. I told my dad that I want to go school by my bicycle and not in the school bus.
Okay, I bet that went down well.
Yeah. So he said, "No, all the girls go in the bus. Why do you want to go in a bicycle?"
Yeah.
I said, "Because I want to bike and go." Said, "But I won't buy you a new bicycle." I said, "Okay, give me your bicycle. I'm going to ride that." So it was a very old, ugly looking bicycle. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to use this only." So I still remember, I used to go to school with all the boys.
Really?
And it used to be really fun, because to get into that bike, I used to take a help of some step.
Because it's too big.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, "No, I'm going to do this." And I used to go with that bicycle.
So this is obviously where a lot of your drive and a lot of your discipline comes from, almost out of a little bit of a rebellious side.
Yeah, because of the rebel. I guess all this because you said no to me, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Let's fast forward, or let's go back to 2015. You're told that you're going to be the next one that's in this hospital. And at that stage, you had a problem with your leg. You can't walk straight.
Correct.
That must have been an interesting time. Talk us through it.
Yeah. So, and then I had gone to some doctors and they said, you have to go through a surgery.
Right.
I was almost prepared to go through the surgery. I used to wear a knee brace, a support system.
Mm.
And on those days, I used to wear a sari to my work.
Right.
Just to hide the knee support.
Wow.
And I used to wear shoes, which was, you know, most like a sport shoes underneath my sari, so that it's not visible. But I never used to skip my work because I used to love my work. So
of course, you used to love it so you could go and make money to go and get drunk and smoke cigarettes. I can see exactly where this is all going.
I was passionate about my work.
Okay.
So then when I realized that I have to go through a surgery, and somebody suggested me that I should try yoga.
Right.
And I got hold of a very good yoga instructor. And at that point of time, it sounded me very expensive, but now I think, well, it was much more worth it. Mm. So she said she's going to come home and she's going to give me yoga instruction twice in a week. I started taking twice in a week. Within 3 months, I realized there's so much of improvement in my knee, in my walk, in my everything. So I said, okay, let me do 4 times in a week.
Wow.
So I started doing 4 times. Within a year, I could see there's a huge change in my walk. I could walk straight without the support. And then I realized, okay, this is it. I'm going to continue with yoga.
Did you change the way that you were eating or other things as well?
Yeah, then she started suggesting me that now you're getting fitter, get into a good food habit.
Right.
So I changed my food habit as well, yes.
How were you eating before?
This is another I would say, culturally, Indians. Okay. Indians.
This is why I've asked the question.
I'm telling you, they eat just crap. I want to say now they, because yeah. I've started completely boycotting the Indian food, except really? Samosa.
You have to, that's one thing you have to keep, the samosa, right?
Yeah. So except samosa, I think I don't eat much Indian food.
Really?
I don't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't find the taste of the food, no spice. I can't have salt, spicy,
really?
Nothing.
Wow.
And sometimes Indian sweet, one or two, not many, but yeah.
So you change everything.
Yeah, I have changed the complete food habit.
Wow. So when did running start for you?
2015. It started from August 2015.
So you'd been doing yoga for quite a while.
2014, I did the yoga.
Right,
so 2015, beginning, I was doing my walk and yoga.
Right.
So alternatively, I was doing my walk. I used to go for long walks. Let's say about 5 kilometers, 6 kilometers, 7 kilometers. I started with walk.
Right.
And somebody suggested me, if you can walk so fast, why can't you try running? I said, no, I can't. I've got a new injury. He said, but you're walking straight and perfectly fine. Why didn't you just try? I started with 200 meters. I still remember.
Yeah.
31st March 2015. That was my financial year closing day.
Yeah.
And I did just about 400 meters.
Wow.
2016, January, I did my first half marathon in Mumbai Standard Chartered Half Marathon.
No way.
Yeah.
How did that feel? Take us back to that last day of the financial year where you ran 400 meters.
I cannot tell you. I mean, that day, I just realized, wow. I can run.
Yeah.
And 400 meters non-stop. It was just a track, you know, in our sports village back home in Delhi.
Yeah.
There's a sports village and there was a 400 meter track and I ran the complete without stopping. I said, wow.
That's amazing.
This is amazing. And when I did my first kilometer, oh, wow, I wanted to, celebrate that first kilometer.
How is it strange though that when you were coming to running, you weren't ready to rebel like you used to rebel in school and like you used to rebel the whole way. And you were saying, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Previously, from what we've spoken about, you could do anything. And especially if someone told you that you weren't allowed to do it, you would do it. But now, these years later, when it came to running, you thought you couldn't do it. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, because because of the knee thing, it was there in back of my mind. And when I used to, I'm sure all of us had faced that. When you start running, you're breathless.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my God, this is very tough. This I can't do.
Yeah.
And I think from there only I picked up, if it is tough, then I have to do it.
You have to. That's pretty cool. So continue the journey. Mumbai half marathon.
Yeah.
Literally 7-8 months later, correct, after you'd finished a 400 meter for the first time.
Correct.
That must have been quite incredible.
Yeah. And when I ran my first half marathon with my husband, so wow, he also ran with me, and it was amazing. That was what a feeling that I can run a half marathon. And that time, I remember, I mean, even 21K is like a wow.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not very, it's not very common. So I used to run in a running group where I think two or three women were running only. So again, I realized that, okay, there are not many. Then I started telling my friends and other community that let's all get together. Let's form a group.
Yes.
And let's all run together. So I remember I started motivating other people that please come join this group and we will all run together. We'll wear the same t-shirt. Like today I wear very proudly the NFI t-shirt. Thank you. And so I started this, I started motivating others.
Wow.
That please come join and let's run together.
How was that received? Like, you're only a few people, two or three ladies in this running club. Was running perceived as a sport just for men again?
I think, yes. At least in Delhi, it used to be like that. Yeah. But later on, I find a lot of women started coming in.
Yeah.
But Delhi being not a very safe city, so when I used to go for my run in the morning, my husband used to tell me, okay, if you're going, then I'll come along. So
right,
it used to be like this, you know. So they used to be, I mean, it's a very, again, a conservative mindset that, you know, early in the morning, I can't go for my run.
Yeah.
And I think still now I can't do that in Delhi.
How does that make you feel? As a human being, male or female, how does it make you feel?
It was horrible. I would say one of the winter days, I remember, I bought a bike in Delhi and I was riding and one of the truck driver came and he tried to corner me and I got so scared, I fell off the bike and I was all alone that day. And I realized that, wow, you can't even do that this in Delhi, you know, just because you are a woman and you're trying to ride in the early morning, there was no one, somebody can just bully you.
Yeah.
And I really felt uncomfortable that, you know, for a woman to come out and do their sports, it's not. So I think that is the reason why maybe our parents, maybe our husband, our family, they want to say, don't go alone.
Yeah.
We'll come along. Or if you, I mean, today what I'm doing here in Dubai, I don't think I can do it in Delhi.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things where it's the safety of the particular city that we're in.
Yeah.
But there's also certain areas or certain situations where it's a gender thing. Like, women shouldn't go out. They shouldn't run.
Correct.
Like, why is this guy coming to bully you? He probably doesn't want anything from
you.
Yeah. Like, you're never going to get anything from a runner anyway, because what do they have? A couple of gels in the pocket.
That's like, it. That's a watch. That's it. Garmin watch. That's
exactly.
It.
So it's an interesting. But as you're running more, your run club starts to grow and you start to build this community of women. How is that received within your other communities? For example, your work community, your family community. How are you received now that you taken this sort of turn in life?
Honestly, I remember when I used to tell my friends, let's go for a long run near the India Gate or somewhere, you know, there used to be long routes. I used to be the only woman. I used to put that in the group, WhatsApp group, that tomorrow, 4 o'clock, we're going to start from here. And I'm trying to tell everyone that please let's go all together and run. So it used to be like, I always used to feel that I was alone standing and telling people to come. I don't know how did they take me, but I did that because it was for my own interest. Because if I don't have a group, I can't go alone and run. So I used to push those people and so that they come along and we can all run. So I still do this, like I coordinate with my group to run together. But I'm still the only woman I see that I'm doing all these kind of things. Still now.
It really is amazing. You are probably a one of a kind, which is a sad thing for me to say. And we were speaking about it before. Like, I respect that culturally certain things happen through tradition, certain things happen. Also through women's safety, certain things happen. But I also know, and you know as well, how much satisfaction you get from running and how, or from sport generally. And to be in a society, and it's not just the Indian culture, we're focusing a lot on Indian culture, but I think it's prevalent in a number of cultures, that is not acceptable.
Yes. So this is so true that I think it's sometimes just going out of the way, doing things, people start, initially they see happy and then start criticizing it. Why do you have to do this? Why do you have to wake up 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
And you have to go for a run 5 o'clock? Why? Why can't you party? Why can't you socialize? Why can't you come on a weekend? I mean, this has been a practice that, you know, we all don't party anymore. We go to sleep by 8:30. So
how's that accepted with your friends?
It was not. So they kept on criticizing me. What? At least come once in a while for the party. Or why don't you just run on some other day? Why do you have to skip a Saturday night party? Because parties are always scheduled on Saturday night.
Right.
And because Sunday being a holiday in India. So yeah. I used to see that in here. I see all parties happen on a Friday night or a Thursday night.
Yes.
And I'm not there. I just can't be there. So I think a lot of us can relate to this.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
And I know we are socially cutting off, but I guess we all love this now.
Is there a transitional period from when you go from, should we call you Party Mutani, out drinking, having a good time, partying, being overweight? You go into this period where you're playing with running, you start to run, you run that 400 meters. Is that a lonely time when you're trying to find a new community? And is there a temptation to go back to where you've come from?
Yes, there was. I was trying to strike a balance.
Right.
And sometimes I would say, okay, I will be there, but till only about 10 o'clock.
Right.
You know, I started doing that initially. And then I realized even 10 o'clock doesn't work for me. Because I want to sleep. I don't want to eat that crap. I don't want to drink.
Yeah.
Sometimes I used to just put the vodka and water and I keep feeling the water. So that they don't come to know that I'm not drinking.
Really?
But I used to get irritated. And then one day, I just told myself, why?
Yeah.
When I'm not liking, why I'm forcing myself to be there?
And what was the answer? Why were you doing it?
The answer was, that's what I said. I said, it's not worth it. Mm. I'm not enjoying it anymore. I'm not enjoying their, even their giggling and laughing on stupid, unnecessary thing,
yeah.
Which was like bothering me. And I said, no, I want to go and sleep.
Yeah.
This is not me. This is not where I want to be.
But why were you still there? Why do you think you're still there?
Because the friend circle,
yeah.
They used to be like 10 years, 15 years old friend circle.
Right.
And a lot of them would not understand me that why I want to leave that party.
Yeah.
And there was a fear of losing those friends. But one day I realized it's better to lose them.
Better to be alone.
Yeah.
Than with people that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just. And then I just took that call. I said, it's okay. If they don't understand me, I don't need them.
Was that hard?
Yeah. It was very hard.
Why?
Because they have been with me for many years.
Yeah.
So even in my tough days, when I needed them, you know, you have ups and downs in your career and a lot of things. They have been there with you.
Yeah.
But I realized I don't need those hundreds. I need two.
Yeah.
And running has given me that clarity of mind.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's an amazing
because thing. On the face value, everything you're saying, it makes sense. You're with a group because they're your support group. They've helped you through. They've listened to you. You've gone to them when you've had a problem. You've gone to them when you need help. You've cried on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're coming to this realization that you no longer need them anymore. That's tough.
That was very tough.
It's really tough. But then when you sit there and you look and you realize that their behaviors don't match your behaviors anymore and you're a new person, it's super hard.
Yeah.
And it's like what we were saying. It's like Gandhi's quote, right or wrong?
Correct. Yeah. You know?
First they laugh at you, then they ignore you, then they fight you, then you win.
Yes.
Like it's just you go through all of these different steps.
And stages, yeah, correct.
Whilst you're also coming off a roller coaster because you've seen illness in your family firsthand and you've been in the hospital and been told by the doctor that you're next.
Yes.
So all you're trying to do is make your life better.
Yes.
You're an incredible human being.
Thank you so much.
Honestly, and everyone who's listening that's been through these things or is going through these things, you're incredible people because you've been able to go on this roller coaster and it's really quite amazing.
Yes.
So, recently, let's move on to one of the amazing parts. There's so many amazing parts of this story, but recently you took on what I believe is the biggest challenge so far, where as part of our time lapse event you chose to go through the night for 12 hours running.
Yes.
You're not allowed to say the reason why you did this is because Tom Walker told you to. But tell us how you come from where you were to that point to say, yes, I'm gonna do this.
So it started with actually the 50-50-50 challenge. Okay. And it was a night challenge as well.
Yeah.
My start time was 7:20 p.m. And I have been given only 50 kilometer of run. So I was supposed to just run and not the bike part.
Right.
I ran that. I requested my coach, Tom, that can I run this with one of my friends? And he allowed me. So I ran with her, and initially I had some issue in my head because I used to sleep by 8:39. That was the biggest thing. First 1 hour or 2 hours kept on telling, this is my sleep time, this is my sleep time, why am I running,
yeah.
Why am I running? But it got over, and I'm very happy that I finished that 50K.
Yeah.
And so this year, 2020 has been really very, very nice because I started my year with the orthopedic boots in my...
I remember.
Yeah. So from there to 50K was amazing.
Unreal.
So my recovery was really good, and Tom had set that goal for me, you're going to run this 50K. So I did that. But I did that with support of people. So here it comes. And he told me next time, now you're going to do it. In my debriefing, he asked me what went wrong and all that stuff. So I had a very detailed email sent to him. And he asked me that, what would you do? I said, I would like to do it again.
Wow.
And he said, okay, then it's going to be all alone.
Wow.
I said, okay, done. I did not question him because if he's saying so, which means I can do it.
Yeah, right.
So I liked, I just took that challenge. And I told myself, Diwali is coming.
Yeah.
So this is happy Diwali to me.
This is where the story becomes even more incredible. For those that don't know, explain to us what Diwali is.
So Diwali in India, it's the most celebrated festival. And Diwali is all about family, friends, lights, sweets, gathering. It's like Christmas, you know.
And you have chosen to go to Al Qudra to run for 12 hours.
Yes.
5 minutes ago, we're talking about cultural norms and society and what it expects and traditions. And now we're hearing this. How do you put these two together, and how is that received within your family?
Well, when I said that I wanted to run this, and then everybody said, why do you have to run in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
In a desert. And you won't believe, 2 days before, I wanted to go and check the location because I wanted to be completely prepared this time, because the last event, I was not so prepared. So this time I wanted to be completely prepared from every point. I went and checked. So when I went to the location by the car, it was about 16 kilometers. We all have to go through the sand, and there's no road.
Yeah.
And my husband was with me. He does not have a Dubai driving license. So he was sitting next to me, and he said, you're going to come here? When there's no one, even in the daytime? I said, yes. My coaches are going to be there. He said, but they're going to run with you? I said, yeah, they're going to run with me. I just lied. I knew they're not going to run with me.
Yeah, right.
And so I have been dropped by one of my friend, and she dropped me and she said, what are you going to do? You're going to run the whole night? There are no one here. So don't worry, there will be a lot of people. So the entire Inner Fight support team and a lot of people, they were all gathering together. 6 p.m. we had to start. We started 6 p.m. Just about after 10, 15 minutes, I realized in the desert, it's just me.
Yeah.
There was no one. And I can't see anything. It was amazing. I had those lights in my shoes.
Yeah, Christmas tree lights.
Yeah. And then someone crossing me with the bike and shouted, Mautani. I said, yes, this is Mautani. Because it was Marcus, you.
I remember.
So, yeah. I think you and Carmen were...
We were cycling.
You were cycling. And yes, so I started... 4 hours, I completed.
And just like that.
Just like that. And when I finished 4 hours, you were all waiting.
Sleeping.
No, first lot, you were not sleeping. You were laughing, but I decided not to talk.
Yeah.
Nothing, because Tom told me, you're going to be by yourself only.
Right.
I said, okay, I'm not going to even talk to anyone. Wow. I'm going to be with myself. So I had this, my camp chair, my food, and myself.
How did that feel, being alone like that?
I had that goal in my mind.
Yeah.
The training peak.
Yeah.
65 kilometers. That's it.
That's all you were focused on.
That was it.
All you cared about.
Yes.
What was the first 4 hours like? Was there any doubt? Were you thinking, why have I done this? What's going on?
At least in first 4 hours, my one doubt got cleared, that I have no issue in the sleep part, so I can manage that. That doubt got cleared in the first 4 hours.
Yeah.
Second 4 hours, I had the doubt of... whether I can get up again, because after the first 1 hour break, it was easy to get up.
Right.
But in the second four hour run, I was getting tired.
Yeah, sure.
And I was not able to eat. Whatever I was trying to eat, I was throwing.
Wow.
So I realized from the 46th kilometer, nothing was going in.
Wow.
I started throwing up, and... after the 8 hours complete, I could not eat anything. I took that second hour rest. I had my ginger tea. I'm very fond of my ginger tea.
Yeah, right.
So I tried that ginger tea. It even came out.
Wow.
Said, okay, I can't eat anymore.
Yeah, right.
Nothing is going in. But the only goal, I have to do this. TW said 65. I need to do this 65. And by that time, I already had 61 kilometer in my watch.
Wow.
So I said, it's just 4 kilometers. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to sit here.
Yeah.
I woke up and I got up and started to run. I could not.
Why?
My legs, they just gave up. They did not. So I said, okay, I'm still going to try.
Yeah.
I started walking. And I thought, okay, after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I will start to run. But I could not.
Wow.
I started walking. I still remember, I was almost, I've done 65, 66, I guess. And I saw you there. And I asked you, I'm not running anymore, but I have not completed my 12 hours.
Yes.
And you told me, even if you go 200 meters, yes, I'm good with it,
yeah,
but you have to complete the time.
Yeah.
I said, okay. I started again walking. And I remember last, I'm very happy, the last 10 minutes, I again ran. So I completed 68 kilometers.
Wow.
And the last 2 kilometers was run.
You had to go to, remembering where we started this story, Diwali celebrations.
Yes.
So you've just run through the night, Thursday night. It's now Friday morning and you're off to Diwali celebration.
Yes. So Friday morning, I reached. So when my friends came to pick me up.
I remember.
Yeah. And they said, what? Why did you come here to run for the whole night? I will not even send my boys to come here. This was the statement.
Really?
I said, how does it matter? Yeah. Boys, me being a woman, what? How does it matter?
Wow.
I did not tell them anything because I was thankful they came all the way to pick me.
For sure.
I should be thankful to them.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything. Okay. The next day was Diwali. 14th was Diwali. I invited all my European friends in the morning for the lunch because evening I had to go with my Indian friends.
Right.
So they all came home. I was very excited to share my story,
yeah,
my journey. It was amazing, 12 hours, and I felt really nice. And TW said that I'm really proud of you. That one line,
enough.
it's just that, you know, I got my medal,
yeah,
you know. It all looked like I did it. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but I just thought I did it for him. I did it for myself, but I did it for him because he believed
in you
that I can do it.
Amazing.
So I wanted to share that story. And all my friends came and I was serving food. I made a lot of Indian delicacies and they were like, but they started criticizing the whole thing.
Wow.
One after one. And I felt horrible. I said, I wanted to celebrate my run.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you the story.
Mm.
And then they started telling me, why would you do that? I would never do this. This is crazy. This is not. And I saw, unfortunately, I started my first run with my husband and my husband started saying the same thing. I don't know why is she doing this.
Wow.
I said, wow, I never thought this would come from my husband.
Wow.
He said, well, this is not something, I mean, it's okay to run a marathon, it's okay to train for everything, but why would you go all the way in a desert in the middle of the night, all by yourself, there was no one with you, you did not even carry your phone, and you were running. What if you would have fallen there? What if you would have got, you know, senseless or something like that,
sure,
you know? I had no answer because I never thought about those. I never thought that I would fall, I would you know, something will go wrong. I never thought about, because I was only thinking about my 65-kilometer training peak. That was it.
The only choice.
Yes. I had no other option to think even. So I hated that discussion.
Mm.
But I have invited my friends.
Yeah.
So, okay. I went ahead with it. Evening, there was another party with my Indian friends. We were all there. We were all discussing something else, and all of a sudden this topic came that this crazy woman ran in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
And then they started discussing it so seriously. Why would you do that? What if anything goes wrong with you? Who would take care of you?
Yeah.
They would know, and the ambulance would take so much of time to even reach you.
Yeah.
I said, why did not I think about all this? I was like, okay, where am I supposed to think about all this? It never came to my mind.
Really?
So, yes, so that day I realized, I spoke to my mom. Mm. She said the same thing.
Mm.
She said, I don't have anyone else. She's got another daughter, but still she thinks I am the only one.
Okay.
And she's the one who cried when I came to this motherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, I don't have anyone. I said, why you have your elder daughter? I said, no, but I want you.
Wow.
I said, why you want me? Because you take care of me. I said, yeah, I will take care of you.
Wow.
And she started crying, and I felt, really? Did I do really something bad?
Mm.
That she's crying that if I ran in the middle of the desert?
Wow.
And I said, then I got doubts. And then I wrote message to Tom, I want to come and talk to you.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong? And he said, then he explained the whole thing.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong, but you have to make them believe that you're doing the right thing, which I never tried, maybe.
Yeah.
Now I have started explaining to my family because they matter to me.
Of course they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And so people who don't understand me, okay, but family is very important. So now I've started explaining to them that why I'm doing this.
Wow.
And I just hope they understand this and they support me, because I know there is no end to it now. I can see that.
It's absolutely incredible. And I think I have a lot of other questions coming to my mind left and right, but I think you've said so many powerful things, Mutani, that make this episode so amazing. And I think you've said a lot of difficult things as well. And a lot of things that, rather than me continue to ask more questions, I want to leave it and let everyone think about what you just said, because the last 5 to 8 minutes was very powerful.
Thank you so much.
And I think a lot of people are in your shoes in some way. And I think if anyone's listening and they're in your shoes in some way, hopefully you've given me a lot of hope and a lot of light, and I think you've probably given those people a lot of hope and light. So thank you so, so much. That was amazing.
Thank you so much. You're a great support to me. Thank you.
No problem. We will get you back next year, because I'm interested to see 1 year from now what's happening. Because I think this breakthrough is a breakthrough of something unbelievable.
Thank you. Yes, inshallah.
Thanks a lot.